This is the Global Minority Report, a radio outreach of Thomas Robb Ministries, bringing the good news of God's kingdom to God's special people throughout United States, Canada, the nations of Europe, and wherever their descendants have settled. Thomas Robb Ministries is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write us at Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. Your hosts for tonight's broadcast are Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. Thank you for tuning in, and please tell your friends about this broadcast.
Okay, David, we appreciate that very much for that introduction. I'm Thomas Robb here. It's in beautiful Ozarks Mountains of Arkansas, and with me here is
Rachel Pendergraft.
And we're welcome everybody here to another edition of the Global Minority Report. We are reporting on who the true minority of the world is. And who is that, Rachel?
Well, our and it's not a lucky guess. There's lots of evidence out there, but that is the white race.
White race. We are the minority. I know constantly we hear all about the minorities here, minorities there, and how minorities are not treated fairly, and the minorities are not given a fair shakedown, and minorities not treated fairly by the law, and minority discriminated against, and minority this, minority that. But the real minority is the white people. We are only 10% of the world's population, down drastically from what we were just a little over a century ago. And now we are facing increased discrimination against white people worldwide. And it's not just a phenomenon here in the United States, but it's happening over in our sister nations of Europe also. And there's, along with this this attack against our people, our race, it seems that equally, right along with it, is a continued attack against our Christian faith and against those hallmarks which define us as a Christian people, which is certainly right to life, because Christianity has a long history of honoring and respecting life. From the newborn on to the ages, we have always respected life.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we've mentioned time and time again that as the white race, as our values, our morals, our history, our Christian history, even pre-Christian times, the support for life has always been there. And along with that support for life includes severe punishment for those who would dare to take life unless it's for perhaps self-defense. And this is something that a lot of people are having a problem with today, because they're being told so often in the schools, little school children are being told that if we want to respect life, you know, we should respect the deer in the forest and the bird flying in the air, but we also now, children are being told that we have to protect the life even of those who have murdered other people. And so we have a situation now in Europe in which Amnesty International, which is known as the world's premier human rights organization, they have taken up the cause of saying that those convicted of murder should not be put to death. They are against the death penalty.
Well, I find it awful strange, Rachel, because it seems like across the board, whether it's in Europe or whether it's in this country, it seems that those people who speak out against the death penalty and say, well, we can't execute this mass murderer because, after all, he's a living person, he's a living soul, and we don't have a right to destroy that life. And yet they seem to have no problem with this killing unborn babies. And I find that really absurd, because some of these people, even some of these people like PETA, which is people for the ethical treatment of animals, they get all hysterical because they think that an animal might be mistreated, and yet they just wink with the concept of the idea that children, and that's what they are, little children are being murdered before they're even born.
Well, absolutely. You know, I have known through acquaintances several people involved with PETA. At one time, one girl and her husband actually went and tried to save thousands of lab mice from going on to their destination to a university laboratory. At the same time, the next weekend, they went and held signs protesting a life rally, you know, a rally to promote life and against abortion. And so they care about the mice that's getting into your feed sacks. They don't want those killed, but at the same time, they really don't, you know, care one bit, one iota about a little child, a little baby, whether it dies or not. So they're very, very hypocritical, but that's all what comes down to humanism, which is the child of Judaism.
Well, certainly, because Christianity focuses around Christ and a moral standard that we feel are absolute, that are above our ability to change or alter. And yet, at the same time, they want to promote, you know, as you say, what is called secular humanism, and that places man at the center of the universe, and man then determines what laws he feels are worthy to obey and which ones are not. And in their little minds, they feel that the life of a child is meaningless, yet the life of an animal is to be lifted and honored, and even, and then, well, beyond all measure. And then, of course, then the life of people who commit horrible crimes of murder and sadistic crimes of that nature, they feel those people should be spared and not be executed by a legitimate order of the courts.
Well, absolutely. One good turn, as reported in The Guardian, there are several bishops, Catholic bishops in Ireland, and they are advising the Catholic schools there who have Amnesty International support groups within the school system. They are advising the Catholic schools to terminate these Amnesty International groups because the group does support abortion, and it is completely contrary to Christian conduct. Whether you're Protestant or Catholic, Christianity has always known and has always taught that abortion is against the laws of God. It is murder. And so to have and to keep a friendly, open relationship with Amnesty International goes against the very stand that we are to take for Christ and for human life. So that's good for them that they are making that stand.
Yes, Cardinal Martino, president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, he stated, quote, and this is a good quote, he said, "I believe that if, in fact, Amnesty International persists in this course of action, individuals and Catholic organizations must withdraw their support, because in deciding to promote abortion rights, Amnesty International has betrayed its mission." And so we want to congratulate the Catholic Church on that particular position. Now, there may be many other positions that the Catholic Church takes that we would disagree with. So we're not endorsing Catholicism. We're not endorsing any religion. But we do want to say that we do support their position on this issue.
Absolutely. And, you know, in Poland, Right to Life there also is very much in the news. On October 10th, the World Day Against Death Penalty. I never knew there was a World Day Against the Death Penalty that was being organized, that there would be organizations and people of note and important people around the world all celebrating and getting together to stop the death penalty. And, you know, this is a very critical juncture for human life, because are we going to take a stand for life? Are we going to protect the innocent, or are we going to turn our backs to them?
Well, Rachel, one of the reasons why some of these people are misled is because they want to misquote the scripture in the Bible, or the verse in the Bible where it says that thou shalt not kill. And they say, well, therefore, you can't take the life of an individual, no matter what he did. He may have killed 100 people or 1,000 people or even one person. He may have done it sadistically, but cold-bloodedly. But the point is, he killed this person, not in self-defense. He just murdered this person. And that is actually what the verse means. It means that thou shalt commit no murder. If you look at it, I think it's from the word mamzer. I'm not sure. I could be mistaken on that. I'll have to look it up. But the point is, the original Hebrew says, thou shalt commit no murder. And so that is what the scripture refers to. And it's entirely different than somebody who defends themselves. And that's what society is essentially doing. It is society is defending itself from somebody who would flauntly violate this law and kill somebody. It's an innocent person. Society needs to defend itself by having that person executed.
Well, absolutely. You know, like you said, you know, murder means an unjustified killing. And so killing for self-defense is not an unjustified killing. But people, you know, they want to play games with words. They want to try to find something that will go along with what their own beliefs are rather than tailoring their beliefs to what the Bible says. They try to make the Bible fit what they believe. And, you know, Poland is facing the possibility of having, you know, they're really being pressured into joining the European Union's joint declaration for this World Day against death penalty. And president of the League of Polish Right, Krzysztof Bozak, he says, I think it is hypocritical on the part of the EU to promote abortion, destructive lifestyles, and euthanasia, and at the same time to pretend to care about the right to life in only one case, death penalty. Yeah.
Rachel, I tell you, we're going to have some more about this here in coming up in a few minutes. Our listeners in Poland are going to want to hear what's happening there and with the European Union. But right now, we've got a song from Heritage Connection, I believe. So let's listen to Heritage Connection, and then we're going to get back and talk about the situation and what's going on with the European Union and in Poland.
Connection, and you can check, there's a link to them at the globalminorityreport.com, where we have programs here that we do archive, so you can tell your friends about it. If they didn't hear it on shortwave, they can go to the internet and listen to it there. We have last week's uploaded already, so you can check that out. But we were talking about Poland and the fact that they are up until now refusing to join the European Union in a joint declaration declaring a World Day against death penalty.
Well, the European Union president is from Portugal, and he recently stated, quote, the European Union considers the death penalty as cruel an inhumane punishment and a violation to the right to life. And yet, what about children? What about unborn children? Do they have a right to life also? That's the question. The European Union president does not address that issue. In fact, the European Union actually supports abortion and is soft on the concept of euthanasia. So why is it that the European Union are supposed to embrace murderers, those who kill innocent people, at the same time turn away and doesn't care about unborn children and the aged who are subject to euthanasia?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I must say that Poland has really stepped into the news in the last several months because they have taken some very bold moves there with the European Union. Right now, there are many people that are vilifying Poland because they, about 3 or 4 months ago, they made the decision that they would no longer allow any homosexual or lesbian teachers in the school. They were going to stop all discussion of homosexuality in any sex education classes, and they are really making some really bold pro-family moves there in Poland. And I think they have the League of Polish Right to thank for a lot of that, because they are trying to stand up for the traditional people of Poland, for the traditional Christianity, and, you know, more power to them, because, you know, that's what people need over there is good, strong leadership, good, strong Christian leadership.
Yeah, and when we talk about Christianity, we're not talking about religion. We don't care about what religion you have. We're not interested in that. We're interested in only one concept, and that's the teaching of Jesus Christ, which bases his whole teaching on these two statements. He said, love your God and love your people. The whole concept of Christianity is based upon that premise. Love your God, Jesus Christ, love your people. Now, what kind of religion you have after that? What kind of doctrines you have?
Whether you're Lutheran or Catholic or Protestant or Church of England.
People argue and fight over how they get baptized, what kind of names they use, what kind of day they go to church, or how they bow, how they pray, you know, how they worship, and whether they sing certain songs. They argue over those silly stuff, all those things that cause racial division and in past history created racial war. None of those things are important. The only thing that is important is what Jesus Christ said, and that is love your God and love your people. That's it. Churches who do not embrace a love for our people violate the teachings of Jesus Christ. Christianity historically has always supported a love for their people. But now over the last recent years, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years, this has concept have been deteriorated. And so many people living within the confines of our nations look at the Christian churches today and they say, well, what's going on with Christianity? And they look at how the churches have embraced multiculturalism, have embraced multiracialism. The churches have endorsed interracial marriages. Churches are now endorsing homosexuality and so-called gay marriages. And people think, well, if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. Well, I don't blame you. If that was Christianity, I would want nothing to do with it either. But that is not Christianity. That is not historical Christianity. Historical Christianity is based upon two teachings: love your God and love your people.
Well, absolutely. And apparently in Britain, they don't think that that's good enough, because they believe that the country must do all that it can to integrate. In fact, they say in one of their papers, the CRE, Commission for Racial Equality, put out a document just a few days ago called A Lot Done, A Lot to Do, Our Vision for Integrated Britain. And they say, quote, about segregation, that residentially, socially, and in the workplace, it is growing. So what we have here is, as Pastor Rob has made mention of numerous times throughout his 40 years as a pastor, that when the government pushes and forces different races and cultures of people together, it causes anxiety, it causes resentment, and in turn it causes cultural chaos for all people and all colors that are involved. But if you will leave the people alone, if you will let them communicate, live with, socialize, and work with those people that they feel most comfortable with, which they have a historic tie with, a blood tie with, they're of the same people, the same race, then they naturally, without anyone telling them to, they will naturally segregate themselves into different communities. And this is what is happening in Britain, and in fact, it's happening all across Europe. It's happening in Australia, and it's happening here in the United States. In the United States here, people are all outraged. People with many government officials are outraged because after all the work that they've done to integrate the schools in this country, 50 years later, after the Supreme Court landmark decision, Brown versus Board of Education, we find that the schools are beginning to resegregate themselves because different races like to be around their own kind. And that's what's happening in Britain, and the British government does not like it.
And they're doing this naturally. They're not being told to separate.
Right.
There's no law saying you have to segregate, but people are doing naturally. They are separating. We find the same thing happening, Rachel, within your prison system. I've never been in prison, but as I understand, you get in prison system, when people go to the mess hall, when they go out to the yard, the blacks hanging out with each other, the Mexicans hanging out with each other. I'm sure over in England, it's the Pakistanis hanging out with each other. The whites hanging out with each other. People like being around their own kind, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the black people hanging out with each other. There's nothing wrong with white people hanging out with each other. But when the governments try to force people together, then you have racial problems, and that can will be in this country, it will be in countries of Europe, it'll be wherever the government attempts to force people together. Right. People don't want to be forced together.
That's right. The Commission for Equality and Human Rights has named several departments and government departments, actually, that they say have not done enough to integrate, and they are asking lawyers to start legal action against the Cabinet Office, about the Health and Education Office, Agricultural, Local Government, Trade and Industry, Defense, the Home Office, and the Foreign Office. They're looking into some treasury groups that work with the Work Pensions, International Development, and Justice Ministry, all different government offices that they say have not done enough to integrate their offices. And, you know, oftentimes they talk about a certain proportion of so-called minorities that must be employed in these government offices and departments and so forth, but that proportion is always much, much higher than the minority's actual proportion in general society. So if there's, you know, 3% in society, statistically, the CRE might say, well, we need then 3% of blacks in government offices. But what they actually end up asking for is oftentimes triple or quadruple times the amount that's actually in society. So they're not getting a representative group of minorities in government offices that relates to the regular general population. We're seeing government offices in the United States, in Europe, in Australia, and so forth, all being subjected to huge increases in the employment of non-whites at the expense of jobs for whites. And many of those who are older people who are being pushed out as they reach 50, 55 years of age. And that's devastating to their families. But it's supposed to be good for Britain, we're told.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And like you say, Rachel, 3% of population. So they want 3% in the cabinet office, 3% in the health department, 3% in the education department, 3% in the agricultural department, 3% in the police department, 3% here. If you add up all those 3%, you're never going to satisfy their demands. And so it's always the same. Whenever they're talking, you speak to them, it's always, well, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. The other day, there was a march here in Jena, Louisiana, and Martin Luther King III, the son of Martin Luther King, the famous black civil rights worker, black activist.
The communist.
Absolutely. He was a, well, we won't go into that about him now. Maybe we'll save that for January when we celebrate his birthday. Well, we won't be celebrating his birthday. But
when a lot of people are getting conned and forced into celebrating his birthday.
Anyway, they were asking him about, well, has there been a lot of advances done since the death of his father? He said, absolutely, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. And so they're never satisfied, and the demand will always continue to increase. Rachel, we're running out of time here. We only got a few minutes. We want to talk about perhaps mention here that this show is being broadcast from Harrison, Arkansas, from the White Christian Revival Center, the Christian Revival Center. This is the Global Minority Report, and we mentioned at the beginning of the show that's referring to the true global minority, which is the white race, our people. And there's an increasing attack and hatred towards our people worldwide. And our people need to come together and understand that they have a great history, a great culture, and they will need to understand that we're not interested in hating anybody, but they must understand that we have this great history and culture and heritage, and we want to embrace and hold dear, and they want to pass it on to their children, that you don't have to hate anybody, but you can love your people and love your heritage and embrace that so dearly, because governments nationwide and worldwide are continually attacking our heritage and telling our children that it is something to be shameful of.
Well, I know we just have a couple minutes left. I wanted to mention your latest book, Pastor Rob, The Laugh Church, Are You Caught in Its Web of Deception? And, you know, like we mentioned on the show last week, you know, we don't have a price on this yet, but if, you know, you can send a donation to help cover printing costs and postage and stuff, we'd like to get this to you. But it basically talks and gives scriptural reference and backs up the fact that we are in the last church age, that this is the last church, and it's a church that God says is decrepit, is disabled, it is not doing what it should, it's bringing falsehoods and telling lies to the people of God. And just really quickly, there's something here in the book that you have here I thought was interesting about how to spot a Judeo-Christian church. Because like you said, Pastor Rob, we're not talking about religion, we're talking about Christianity. But the churches today have joined themselves with Judaism to become a Judeo-Christian church, which are at the complete opposite ends of the pole. But I think we've got about a minute and a half here. But here are a couple things to look for if you think you might be in a Judeo-Christian church, and then you need to get out, and you also need to get this book. But number one, does your church have a complete and total commitment to the false state of Israel? Does it support missionaries or missionary programs to Asia, Africa, or South America? Does the church have bus routes which bring minority children from the inner city to your church? Will they have non-white teachers, superintendents, white speakers, or entertainers to minister? Will they have programs honoring Martin Luther King or celebrate Black History Month? Will they have non-whites in regular attendance? Will they promote through sermons, Sunday school manuals, or activities the teachings of tolerance to race mixing and homosexuality? Will they have multi-religious conferences with Jewish rabbis and Muslim clerics? And then also, you know, the preacher might say he's against integration, but won't say it from a pulpit, which is just as bad. And Sunday school lessons for children will have pictures of white, Asian, Mexican, black, or Arab children all together. And children will be taught to sing songs about how we should live in harmony together in an integrated world.
Well, yes, they need to get that book. Send us a few dollars to the address that David is going to give to you right now. Until next time, we want you to love your people and love your heritage.
You have been listening to Global Minority Report with Pastor Thomas Robb and Rachel Pendergraft. The Global Minority Report is a radio ministry of Thomas Robb Ministries and is supported by your tithes and offerings. You can write for a free sample copy of our news and ministry magazine by writing to Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. If possible, when you write, please include a small offering to cover our mailing expenses. Our address again is Thomas Robb Ministries, Post Office Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas, 72615, USA. You can also visit us on the internet at christianidentity.tv. Please tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. Thank you for listening, and again, this is the Global Minority Report.